Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Okay, welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. This is our Cybersecurity Sunday version, and we hope that you enjoy today's content. I have my repeated guest, Mr. A.I. Nguyen, riding shotgun with me today, and I know we'll be hitting a assortment of topics, but if you do have questions that you would like to hear Mr. Nguyen address, you can text us at 713-581-0195. And while I don't think we're going to be talking about any tax or real estate private partnership topics today, I want to remind you that just because you hear something that sounds interesting to you, please check with your own current professional advisors before you take any actions. And for that matter, I can say the same thing about any cybersecurity measures. Check with someone like Mr. A.I. Nguyen that already is aware and knows what might satisfy your specific needs and objectives. Nguyen, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Nathan. Thank you for that introduction.
Very good. What are we going to be talking about today, Nguyen?
Well, today we're going to talk about some of the stuff. One of the topic is the rumor of iPhone 16 is no longer a rumor. So they introduced it a couple of days ago.
They're taking orders.
So I'm going to have mine on next Friday, hopefully.
Right. Okay.
But hopefully the 16 feature will either pure genius or an ergonomic nightmare. I have not touched it yet.
It's too big. I'm telling you right now, it's too big. But anyway.
But you can see it, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to dive in and see what the pro and the con, you know? So the pro is the enhanced camera. That's one of my favorite features.
Okay? Is it? Good.
Yeah, because have a low light performance and AI capabilities. They say it's for stunning photos and video. That's what they say. So, and the A17, and it's using the A17 Bionic chips.
Well, sound very high. Pro A17 Pro. If you go with the 16 Pro, some confusing terminology.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And you know what I've read by several reviewers is that for the first time, there's a strong recommendation to just buy the 16 versus the 16 Pro if you otherwise like the phone, the price point, etc., because apparently this is the first non-Pro version available that's on par in more ways than one with the Pro. Have you been reading that, Nguyen, or seeing that?
Yeah, I think the design of the 16 and the 16 Pro is pretty close, and I think the 16 is smaller and it's upgradable.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
It's totally marketing, I'm telling you.
Right? Yeah.
But the Pro have ProMotion display that offer 120 hertz refresh rate.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that's a major difference.
Well, I've always purchased Pro in my past. The processor in my mind is always the overwhelming reason to upgrade. Otherwise, in many respects, you might as well sit tight on the version you have. But there's always a speed boost and performance boost over the non-Pro chip. So I don't know. I doubt that's going to be any different this year, and especially with the AI functionality that they've added. So
that's the thing, you know, and let's talk about the con. That's the pro. Let's talk about the con. The pricing. Man, this phone is getting more expensive every time they come out with a new one. Now, you know, this is a titanium, right?
Right.
So at the same time, they're going to they're not going to sell iPhone 15 Pro anymore because that's also titanium too. Man, I bought mine like a couple months ago, iPhone 15 Pro. So I don't know if I, so now I have two phones. So the question is, should I keep them? Well, you know, iPhone iPhone 15 Pro, you can upgrade it into AI in this September, end of September. That's what they said.
Well, and even, let me think, the 15 Pro can access the new Apple intelligence. Excuse me. Yeah. What about, does the 14 Pro get there or no?
No, no. The 14 is not up to par. The 15 Pro Max.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, speaking from experience, I carry two phones at a minimum. I also carry a couple of the mini version just in case batteries go down, you know, during the day. And I'll tell you, I don't know how other people function without two phones because I am constantly looking things up on one while I'm talking on the other. And yes, I understand. I've got AirPods. I could be doing some of the same thing, but there are some things you cannot do when you're literally on the line talking to someone. I use Google Voice, and as an example, I can't easily send a text or go look up data that I may have had come in vis-a-vis a text transmission because that's part of the same app, you know, the Google Voice app. So I don't know. I'm not going to rush out and buy. I never go buy two of the new phone, but I constantly recycle, if you will, the phone just prior to the one I have. And then again, you know, when you're driving, you've got the ability to set that one as the GPS if you don't have the new tech. I don't in my vehicle here in the U.S. I've got a 2010 Tundra, which is awesome, by the way, and I have no plans to upgrade to the new Tundra with the new tech. I'll make do with the old tech because that is a marvelous vehicle. But so I can keep one of my, I use my 14 Pro typically as the map, and I use the 15 Pro for everything else I shouldn't be doing when I'm
so you're driving. Not getting the 16 at all?
Oh no, I will. I'm going to get the 16, and I'll relegate the 14 Pro probably to a relative. There's always somebody waiting down the line for Nathan's phone.
I think you're going to like this one. So I look at AI features that they have.
Yeah,
the enhanced Siri.
I tell you, I worry about the size. I don't like the size of the 14 or the 15. And I go back, same reason I've hung on to those minis. I don't know. Did you ever have a mini win? I don't think you did.
I do. Well, long time ago. But it's too 12. Small for me. Yeah, too small for me.
Well, on the one hand, I fight the too small factor when it comes to reading it. But, you know, you can set the typeface, obviously, or the display to be quite large, but you know, you're right. It's a blessing and a curse. But I tell you what, to be able to, like when I go walking each day, or I just want to go somewhere where I don't want to be so obvious with carrying the big phone around, I sure like the mini. I think the 12 and 13, I think those are the only two minis Apple ever produced. I still think of those as probably the best form factor of any phone they've ever made. Wow. And I know they say, well, you know, we would bring it out again, but we don't sell enough. I think that's a bunch of hooey. I think they
it's
sell
marketing, yeah.
Well, right. They sell enough of them where they realize they're going to cannibalize the new release of the big Pro. And I'll tell you this, if they ever put just a subset of the functionality that's in the Pro in a mini, I don't think they'd ever sell another Pro because, man, that is a great form factor. But anyway, well, let's move on. What else about the 16 is a pro or a con?
You've just hit
a couple of them.
Well, anyway. the major AI feature that I really liked is the enhanced Siri. So it has the improved, more natural voice and contextual understanding, it actually understands you. So that according to them, and it supports like more natural conversations, You know, yeah. That's one of them. And the other one is AI writing tool. And you know me, I misspell all the time. So
right.
So the tool will write, help you write the document and email, you know, improvements, you know.
Yeah.
But overall, the AI summary, like if you write message, your mail, notification, the note, the AI will provide summary for you and help you quickly understand the content. So I think that's a big change.
Well, and it probably reduces some of the things we like about the Plaid hardware, correct?
Yeah.
And the AI pen. I mean, it does it right on
there's
the phone
too
without
many.
Those,
yeah.
Right?
That's another problem, too. There's too many AI stuff coming out, and we keep continuing buying one. look
yeah.
how many I have. I have
yeah,
so many. I even have the glasses that translate automatically on the fly when you talk different languages. And then you have the pen, now you have AI. It's too many of them. So I think there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out, and you don't know which one you're going to get. That's going to be too many, my opinion.
Well, what about, I noticed the watch got a lot of attention as well.
It's thinner. And actually look very good, and it also has AI built in. For example, this time it's integrated. Well, it is always integrated with the phone, but more naturally, especially if you get the option with the cell phone SIM in there. Okay?
Yeah.
So it helps. Like if you can exercise, you can leave your phone there. It's already have that feature for the rest of the phone, but this, according to them, is more natural. But I haven't seen it in action yet. We'll find out soon, next week when I get mine.
Yeah, are they releasing the watch the same time approximately as the phone?
According to them, no. Now, I could be wrong. I was at the Apple store yesterday, and I spoke to a couple of people. And the one that they're going to release is the 16 and the Pro Max. I'm going to get my Pro Max.
Okay.
They're going to be a big line, too. So.
Well, did you sign up to order yours? Or?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, that ought to eliminate your line. Aren't they going to give you an appointment time to come
no,
in?
Well, yes and no. So they're going to text me, and then they're going to tell me when. But the guy already warned me there's going to be a lot of people in the same day.
Yeah, well, they hope there is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know the last couple iPhone releases have been rather, let's just say there weren't any lines. At least in Bangkok, there wasn't. There usually is.
This time is the AI feature that people want.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think you're.
It was
probably right.
It was packed yesterday.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to get mine and play with my Apple Vision. You know?
Yeah. Well, that'll be. I didn't see a whole lot about on the
Apple Vision
program. When was it, a week ago now? Mm-hmm. Seems like it's just yesterday, but I didn't see them discuss a whole lot about the interconnectivity between the phone and Vision Pro. I mean, I know the phone has a camera that apparently will produce video and I guess images that are more savvy for Vision Pro.
Well, end of the month, you have an option. Well, actually, end of the month, the firmware for Apple Pro Max 15 and the Apple Pro Vision will have an update on the AI feature. So I can't wait. Yep, they say it's supposed to be. We'll see what happens.
So when you say the Max and Vision Pro, you mean somehow working together, or you're just saying independently?
They are working together right now.
Yeah.
That's why I bought the Pro Vision and the Max Pro for that purpose, especially the immerse function of the camera. That's one of the main.
Well, for those listening that have not checked out the Vision Pro, I got to tell you, I was blown away when I finally did the little 20 or 30 minute demo in store. And I was thinking it really was just for gamers or for virtual reality. There is so much more to Vision Pro, and there's no question at some point I'll have one of those, maybe sooner rather than later, because when you realize just one thing that you can do that I saw firsthand that I just couldn't believe is the ability to have as many displays as you want running right in front of your eyes.
Oh, it's
in other
amazing.
Words,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we could go into the radio station as an example where there's one screen in front of us, you know, where the microphone is, and then I bring my MacBook and a iPad that I connect via sidecar. So I've kind of got two small screens for content, and with the Vision Pro, I can have as many screens as I want up, sized to where I can actually see them.
Mm-hmm.
Vision Pro has the ability for you to put lenses in that are reconciled to your prescription glasses. Each eye could be different. And I'm telling you, I haven't seen that clearly in years. And I had no idea.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. I just had no idea. It has nothing. You don't have to ever run one game on it or do any virtual reality. Just the fact that you can have access to those apps. And it's not, unfortunately, it's not every application, but, you know, Safari works. And it's got a the equivalent of an M2, which is Apple Silicon. It's got an M2. It's like having a second Mac in your right in front of your eyeballs.
And I tell you, one of the major features is the immersive video. Like when you play a game, like golf game, like you're there. You see the ball flying across when you hit the ball. Okay.
Yeah, well, see, and I didn't even look at that, and I guess that has value to some people.
Well,
but
I bought it the first time, and I don't know how to use it, I return it. And then the second time, I went to Apple Store and spent like 2 hours, and then they explained to me all the features, and I see, and you know what, I got to have it. Like, it got a neural option. But I'll tell you, when I played the video.
I can't even explain how that works. It's just incredible that you could be using your finger and touching the air. I mean, that's all you're doing.
Neuro.
And somehow that's translated back to moving your finger across a screen or a display, or you're entering information by tapping your thumb and your index finger. And it's hard to explain. All I can tell you is go see it. Go do the demo. Mm-hmm. You'll be blown away just as I was. I guess the challenge is understanding how you would use it that would justify the $3,500 up price tag, because they are not devices.
I have to tell you this real quick. On the video, when I play back like Taylor Swift video, like she sing right in front of me, okay? Unfortunately, I had to delete that video. I no longer like that video. Did I say something funny?
Look, everybody's got their favorites. I appreciate... Well, I don't really appreciate her music, and I'm not a big fan, but I appreciate anybody that's able to monetize the, I don't know, it's still probably millions of people. I don't know. Is it a billion already? I couldn't tell you. But
yeah.
I
tell
you what, she's got a grip on certain constituents, and she's got quite a constituency. But anyway.
Well, I have
Wynn, let's do... Oh, go ahead.
No.
Save that thought. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to pick up with what you were getting ready to say. So we'll circle back in a few minutes with more of this week's Cybersecurity Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com. Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
With big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I've been discussing, thus far we've discussed the new Apple hardware that's coming out. When is it? It's next week, I think?
Next Friday. Yeah.
And Wynn and I had kind of morphed over into a discussion about Vision Pro, which is Apple's virtual reality goggles, which until about, it's been about 4 months ago that I was in an Apple store and was talked into doing the demo that they have there. It's 20 to 30 minutes where they lead you through it and put you through its paces. And I got to tell you, I went from thinking, man, this has nothing to do with me. I'm not a gamer. I don't do assorted things in the virtual realm. And I just felt like it was something that, you know, had no applicability to my day to day, but I was sadly mistaken. And while I didn't buy one that day, I certainly see the potential. And anyway, when you were getting ready to say something, when I cut us off to go to the break,
I was going to say that thing looked, if you look at the glasses, like it's alive. Like it's glowing,
right.
It's alive.
Right, it does. Yeah. It does. That's a good illustration.
And you play the music. You play like TikTok to Instagram. Like you're there. You know.
Yeah.
But that was my last comment. But anyway, yeah. Another topic I want to talk about today, Nathan, is about the VPN.
Good.
So this is like just in case. This is a disclaimer. It's not an advice. Just purely my opinion. Okay. So VPN stands for Virtual Private Network. I'm pretty sure everybody already understands it, but I just want to put that into context. You know, nowadays, I don't even trust the internet anymore, especially when you carry your phone everywhere you go. So if you look at online activities, how do you keep the safety and confidentiality of your online activities? So the only solution that I see today, I run my VPN all day long, especially when I'm outside to Starbucks or whatever. And I can, I don't know what to tell people, okay? I don't trust the internet anymore. I don't. So in this topic, we talk about, I want to talk about the virtual private network. Why it's important? Why it's a good idea, good reason to use the VPN on your mobile device? And I have like 8-9 features, okay? The reason why, okay? The first one is enhanced security. You encrypt your internet traffic, okay? You protect your data from hackers. And I'm talking about hackers. When you connect your device to the public Wi-Fi network, like those in the coffee shop, the airport, and hotel? How do you know? How do you know no one's listening to you? So the VPN, the encryption, it makes harder for anyone to intercept and read your data. Now, they can see your traffic, but it's all encrypted. All they see is garbage. They don't see anything else.
Yeah.
So that's
And when something I've wondered, I use Express VPN, I think's the name of it.
I'm glad you asked that. Yeah.
Yeah, but how far along the line does that protection? I mean, is it end to end, as the expression goes? I mean, how does the other end of wherever you're traveling, how does it a key to unravel that?
Your traffic, when you initiate the VPN, your traffic is encrypted to one entry and to the other side. So whoever, like the man, they call the man in the middle attack, they cannot see your traffic.
Okay, but let's assume that I've got a VPN and I'm, online and I go to, google.com as an example, or Gmail. How does the traffic, when it hits Gmail or gets to Gmail or comes from Gmail, how does that get inside the pipe, I guess I would say, of the VPN?
You know, let me explain to you, TCP/IP is like traffic, just like your traffic. Going out, going back the same way.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just like you look at the freeway. That's how I explain to people. I use the analogy of this is a human design, right? So you look at when the packets send out, they're coming back the same way, the tunnel. Send back to the same tunnel. It's going back to the same tunnel. So I send the data back, and then the data come back to the same tunnel, right? But let me tell you something. Not all VPN are created equal. So you need to pick the right one. But eventually, I'm going to tell, next week, I want to talk about the VPN, especially when you go to the country like China. China got a great security application firewall, but that's another story I want to talk about later.
Okay.
But the important thing I want to tell people today is if you want to increase your privacy and save access to your personal resources, and especially bypass censorship, you need VPN. And especially if you make a phone call, you want to be... Another thing, too, if you want to make a phone call, think about this. You don't want people to listen to the other side. Hacker do listen to the other side, I'm telling you. There's some of the things that are happening today, the eyewitnesses, I cannot believe that they actually listen to it. How do they know? Like, even your text. If your phone is compromised, anything you text, they will see it.
With or without the VPN? Or you're saying if you don't have a VPN?
If you don't have the VPN. Well, somehow they still get your text, but with the VPN, it's always help. Because the idea is to encrypt your traffic. Okay. Now, sometimes they can see the data, the bandwidth, but they don't see the data.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I think it does. Now, one thing I wanted to ask, seeing your traffic and getting access to your computer are two different things, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I, for instance, I have to take my VPN down on some types of applications. Okay. I know doing radio, when we connect with software that comes with our audio decoder, it will not detect the IP that I need to plug in for that connection if the VPN is running. So I have to shut it down just for a minute, less than a minute, to get that IP address, to identify what it is, okay, on my network for that device. And then once I connect, I re-engage. But I'm not sure. I know I use VPN, the same VPN I mentioned, the Express VPN product overseas, and that allows me to, at least for the most part, it's not 100%.
To watch Netflix?
Well, Netflix, actually, it doesn't allow you to do. They've got that figured out. But say Home Depot. HomeDepot.com will block a Thailand IP address, which there's a lot of countries that'll block it because, Thailand's got a reputation. multiple reputations, I might add.
Well, I tell you, I bypassed it. One of the islands would not allow Netflix.
Yeah.
Since I use a VPN, I'd be able to see it.
Yeah. Well, I still like this one, and I use it, and I know, you know, everybody markets it. I think Sean Hannity markets it. Rush used to, you know, Rush Limbaugh. And but I have no idea, and I have no connection with ExpressVPN. Try it at your own risk if you do. But I'll tell you this, it's easy to install, it's easy to deploy. And for most people that aren't computer experts like Wynn, that's a big plus. And it's cheap. I forget what it costs, but it's
they are easy to very they are easy to install. But the question yeah. here is who owns it on the other
well, that's
end,
a good point. Right? That's a good point. This is ExpressVPN. Who is that? Norton or who is that? Do you know?
You
right
still
offhand?
Right offhand, I forgot. But yeah. the thing is, they still own your data. Okay, so
yeah.
what do they do with your data? That's a problem.
Yeah.
So there's one VPN that I use, but I'm not going to mention because I don't want to advertise them. But I
yeah,
tell you later offline.
Yeah.
But they don't. They're like a Swiss account.
Okay.
So they don't advertise. They don't give it to the U.S. government, anybody.
Well, back in the good old days, you mean? Because the Swiss do now. They do disclose who's got accounts.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah. Then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I thought of something over the past week that I meant to ask you. If we back up in time here, we talked about SIM hacking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about an eSIM? Does that escape? That obviously is something that can't be easily replaced. Just when you know when you're standing in front of somebody, right? Unlike the hard SIM,
and they don't steal your phone and take out your SIM, so it solved the problem with the physical device. But
yeah.
it still did not solve the problem when the people work for the ISP or your seller like AT&T or Verizon. They still can change it. The people still can change it.
Right.
Right.
Right. So once you've got somebody that's mm-hmm. got legitimate authority to be in your
they
phone,
still
you
change.
Still got a risk
that's
there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why you have to enable yeah. your PIN.
Yeah. yeah. Well, but you're going to have to give them your SIM PIN, right, to get into the phone if they need to for...
Yes, but that's going to be their second level. So they have to initiate the second level, not the guy
yeah.
from the store.
I got you. I
you
got
see?
You. Yeah.
So you still. Yeah. So back to the VPN.
Yeah.
Another thing is the privacy. And I tell you, especially if you do banking, you know what? You do banking, a lot of banking, right? And a lot of people are doing banking. You need to be careful. Your information is, when you fly across those information, if you go to the airport and somebody set up the Wi-Fi and they mimic the Wi-Fi, like public Wi-Fi, you think you log into the public Wi-Fi legitimate from the airport, but you actually,
yeah.
they can see everything that you have. And later on, I'm going to talk about the USB cable. Man, this thing is amazing. But that's going to be the fourth topic. And
yeah.
Today.
But the okay.
But the VPN.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Mm. Go ahead and finish
say
that.
We need the VPN. You need to install VPN on a public network.
Yeah, and it's mainly public, right? Because I saw a quote, cyber expert, just a month ago, say that in this day and time, when you're at home just doing normal computing, you really don't need a VPN. Is that true? I mean, I still run mine.
Unless your neighbor is a bad guy.
Yeah, well, it's true.
If you don't protect your Wi-Fi, then you see how the
yeah.
issue. You know,
yeah.
Why don't you do this? Go home and turn on your Wi-Fi and see how many Wi-Fi ID around you.
Oh, I tell you right now, I was just in my trying to get this... equipment configured for the remote broadcasting capability this past week, and I saw assorted what do you call them, SPIDs or SIDs?
Yeah.
I've forgotten.
Yeah, SSID. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I knew enough names of people that live around my condo property here in San Antonio that I knew exactly who it was. But I'm not a hacker. I don't understand how to get access.
Well,
to
you know
stuff
how to prevent people from access your SSID? You name
how?
Them. You know how I name my SSID?
Uh-huh.
A virus portal. Nobody gonna touch
it. How about San Antonio Police Department? Is that a good way to name it, maybe?
Then the local people don't want access, but the criminal will try to access.
Yeah, yeah.
See?
Well, we do use names that you wouldn't necessarily know what you were. But, you know, we have the folks that come through and stay with us here, you know, on a short-term basis. We give out the password, or not, well, yeah, the password and the SID to them. But, you know, it's, to my knowledge, we've never had an issue, but you never know. And I don't know. Hey, let's go ahead and take our last break. We're just on the mark, and we'll circle back momentarily with more of the Sunday Cybersecurity Show with Be a Planner.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make the
okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my special guest this Sunday, as with most Sundays, Mr. A.I. Nguyen, and we are talking cybersecurity, and we've been talking about the new iPhone 16, and by the way, Nguyen, I'm going to meander just a minute here. I notice all the iPhones have a VPN setting in the phone. Can you differentiate that for us versus, like in my case, I've added a third-party app, ExpressVPN. What's the difference? Should I have that turned on, turned off? How do you deal with it?
That come with Apple. So that's Apple thing, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, that's Apple Network. You can use that. You don't have to use a third party. But now, the difference is performance. Not all VPN are created equal. okay, the performance, what count, and depend where you are. That VPN did not give you an option to click on where you are and which region. So
you mean the Apple or the
Apple,
the Express?
The Apple.
Okay.
The Apple, the one that come with the Apple, don't give you that options. But
okay.
Just give you, it's better than nothing. You know, it's free. It's part of Apple. And I do use it, but sometimes, I'm telling you, it's also overblocking, and the performance is slow. So I know that it's very slow. So that's why performance count. Performance and regional, where you want to, for example, if I go to the Caribbean island, and it won't let me watch Netflix. So if you click on Apple VPN, it still won't let you click on Netflix, right?
Well, I've got them turned off on my phones, but I was just curious.
I turn off mine, too. I use a third party, and that's the one that I'll tell you later what that is, but I'm really happy with it. It's very powerful, and it's very performant. It's very fast, and you pay, I think, like one account. You can have up to like 5 or 10 accounts for your mobile and your laptop, your phone. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see. Next on our agenda, you've got the cheating spouse
ransomware. Oh, my God. This is, I'm telling you, the past couple of weeks, this is the new thing. So, remember, we talked about AI, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So now the criminal using, this is called sophisticated attack. The criminal are using AI to develop more sophisticated and target attacks, such as they're using AI-generated phishing email and deepfake. So in this case, this is called a cheating spouse. You know what it does? It's
almost afraid to ask, but go ahead.
Well, it's very So the threat actor used sending this new, it's called sextortion email. And it's a variant it's about 3 weeks ago. And it's sending to both the husband and the wife reporting that they're cheating.
Suspicious activity?
Yep.
On the other spouse.
So there's one guy called me and said, hey, I received this email. And it showed that my house, the picture of my house, and it showed that, and it claimed that if I don't give them the money, and they will send all my information, like address book, social media, and text, dating app, all five phone number, everything sent to my wife, and vice versa, to the husband.
And
I'm telling you, it triggers some people.
Yeah, I can imagine.
One guy called me, is it true? And I look at it and I said, well, how about the picture they sent to you? Where did they get the picture from? So somehow they're using your phone. They see, but the picture is from the street, not from he himself.
Huh.
But I'm telling you, it's very convincing.
Wow.
And it strikes some nerve, right? So people, I'm telling you, I'm looking at this and I said, they weaponized this AI, these malicious actors, they're using create the malware that adapt and it bypass a lot of stuff. And this document right here, I'm looking at, it's scary, you know?
Huh.
So so that's even more for people to use the VPN.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, does that necessarily, I don't know. I guess the VPN certainly helps block some of that stuff, but I'm not sure. I mean, I could see where just having access to somebody's Facebook account would give you a lot of the same information. Maybe you couldn't deliver the ransomware request as easily, but shoot, I bet you could. I bet you know, so many people in social media want to be contacted that I'm assuming there's multiple ways you could make your ransomware request and disguise it.
Now that they have your social security, they have your address or your bank account, it's more convincing to your spouse that you are cheating and vice versa, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So the VPN help, but also too, you know, if you know, what happened if you know you've been tracked, right? So you can use the VPN to be invisible.
Yeah.
You want to be invisible online. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason I'm telling you this because they get more sophisticated, and you can tell the difference, and they don't misspell anymore, and they sound like regular Americans' accent and the writing skill. You can't tell.
And they're certainly.
And now they
send. Better.
In the last few weeks, they've been sending out a lot of them. Okay. a lot of email like this, and somehow it goes through. Another thing too, it bypasses your spam filter. You see?
Huh.
So the guy said, you know, shouldn't it be spam? Shouldn't it, you know, go to the spam folders? You know, they say, where did you get it from? Directly from my inbox.
Yeah.
So just be careful, you know. And go ahead.
Well, speaking of being more sophisticated, the last item on our agenda is the USB cable hack. And I've read a little bit about this one, but I think you've got some better stories. So why don't you pick up and tell us what that is.
Now, if you travel a lot, just like yourself, you travel a lot, you go to the airport, and you're sitting at the airport, and you want to charge your phone, correct?
Right.
So you just plug it in to the place where everybody, the general public, plug in your phone cable, your iPhone cable. And you said, you know, yeah, I'm going to charge it. And you said,
all those nice little kiosks that have been added to the airports.
That's right. That's right.
The last in somebody, 5 years.
Somebody can just put in the USB adapter and plug it in there on top of the adapter, and you don't have a clue. 99.9% general public can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
It's just like the ATM mimic, but this one is smaller. Okay. So inside those, it actually a script. And I'll tell you, that's one of the cable that the NSA have. So it looked like a lightning cable, right? But it cost them $20,000. But you can get one for like a couple hundred bucks, and it does almost similar thing. It had a script in there that it can perform like stealing your Wi-Fi, and it also had a keystroke injection that it will instantly get all your payload, all your script, all your keystroke. Okay? Imagine your password, imagine your bank account. And also, too, if they decide to do like destroy your phone, they can do that too. But in this case,
yeah,
I think all they do is just stealing your information. So imagine that. All your stuff on your phone, they collected it.
Well,
just like that.
One thing I will tell you, if you're doing banking and you're not using an RSA device, and that's the little security device that has the code that changes every, what is it, when 30 seconds, or I think it's 60 seconds.
It's the multi-factor authentications, and they have a timestamp. So time is work against the bad guys on that one, because you have,
right. So they you would literally, a hacker would have to be standing over my shoulder, or have access. Well, I don't know. You know, I run RSA off of my phone now, not off of the token, right? The hardware token. So how does that get picked up?
They're not going to pick up. If you have like a hardware RSA, like the one they use.
No, I don't have hardware. I'm running it off the phone, the app.
You run on the app. Now, you know Okta, O-K-T-A, that perform all the, provide all the app for dual-factor authentication.
Okay.
They've been hacked. So I'm just trying to figure out how it happened.
Yeah, good point.
So the thing is, if they can access to your phone through that cable, that's locally. They can see everything that you have. They can steal your information.
But they could they see, I'm trying to think, how does, I mean, I obviously, it's been a while since I've installed that app, and the bank had to walk me through it. There was something the bank gave me that allowed me to put that app on my phone. So I'm assuming if it was running on a different phone or a different computer, that you'd have to go back through, because I can't just move this to a different phone. I can't do a backup of this phone and go reinstall it on a second phone.
So
it's
the
not
way
gonna work.
So the way I'm doing it, okay, do you have two choices? Right now, today, you can download authentication app on your phone, and every time when you log to your any website that requires multi-factor authentication, like Google, and you have your app right in front of you in the same phone, they give you the code, you use the code, you put in there, right? But the way I'm doing, I have two phones. One phone has the apps only, and the other phone that I can access the bank. Then I use the other phone. Does that make sense? I use two phones.
Yeah,
so
kind of.
So they cannot see it. They cannot see the same app.
Yeah.
Well, that's me, but it's inconvenient, but security is inconvenient.
And you're talking about using a USB security device?
For the desktop, yes. Especially for Google
authentication. Oh, okay, but not for the phone.
But for the phone, I use two phones. Let's just say, I'll give you an example. If I go to Citibank, for example.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, and it's asking for the code. But I'm not using the same app. I'm not using the app that I download on the same phone. I have another phone that I use with the app.
That receives the code?
That is correct.
Okay.
You see that? So they cannot see. They cannot act. The chance of hacking two phones at the same time, possible, but it's not probable.
Yeah. Right?
So it adds additional layer of security.
Yeah, I like that.
You know?
It's a good idea.
Because you told me you have more than one phone, right?
Right. Well, see? That's another good reason to have it.
Exactly. I always have two phones, always. I have both. Actually, I have three phones. Yeah. I have two iPhone and I have an Android. I always have a backup. Okay. So,
of those, I'm just curious, mm-hmm. since you injected Android into the discussion, which is one of the OS's, either Android or iOS? I think those are the two major ones, obviously. Are either one of those more security savvy than the other?
I like the iPhone because the iPhone has the black box. See, Apple has a black box. They call it the black box that they control the OS and they control the applications, right? That's theirs. And no one can see that. They can, and the CPU are built in Austin, Texas, so they can bring it over to China to assemble, but they cannot see what's inside.
Oh, okay.
The problem with the Android is that it's open source. Now, keep in mind, open source, but they do lock it down, like Samsung. They do lock it down, so they're both secure, but I just like, it's just opinion, I like the iPhone better.
Yeah, well, the cost of Android, I mean, the beauty is Android is much more customizable, right?
Each person. It's open source.
It's like I heard it described once, an iPhone is more like a condo unit where, you know, you're in a building that's got a common look and feel from the outside, and so you're limited to how much you can change your condo, okay, in terms of the outside appearance, the exterior, etc. Whereas Android is like building a custom home where you've got almost total control over the exterior and the interior. And so it comes at a price. And I'll tell you, I used Android for a while and I got tired of having to reinstall and rebuild because of things that would happen due to changes we made. Well, when I hear the end of the show music starting to play, so I'm going to thank you once again for coming on the air, and I look forward to next Sunday. I really enjoy these Sunday topics, and I know we're really just scratched the surface at this point. Okay, well, we will be back with more Be a Planner on Thursday at 2 p.m. right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.